We're joined now on the phone by Dustin Chickerell-Bayard, who is the communications director for the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, which has been involved in this case as it has moved through the courts. Dustin, thank you so much for joining us on the phone today.
Thank you for having me.
So obviously a disappointing ruling from your perspective from the Supreme Court. What was your reaction to it when it was announced earlier today?
Yeah, obviously this is not what the plaintiffs wanted in this case, but the first reaction is that it is clear to everyone that there's still more work to be done and that there are still ways to rein in partisan gerrymandering and protect voters and make sure everyone's voice is heard in our democracy. It's just not going to be through the federal courts.
And I was reading the decision earlier, and knowing what we know about the makeup of the Supreme Court right now, obviously without Anthony Kennedy on it, and knowing that John Roberts is kind of the swing justice now, and that was certainly the case today in both of the big rulings that came down, and what he has said in previous oral arguments about partisan gerrymandering, can't really be a big surprise when the decision came down today the way it did. But at the same time, the reasoning of the Supreme Court here seems to be at odds with the reasoning that the Supreme Court had in other gerrymandering and redistricting cases. One famous one from the 1960s, where the Supreme Court said every district has to have roughly the same number of people in it, one person, one vote. Another couple of cases from the 90s on racial gerrymandering. All of those cases where the Supreme Court very explicitly said, we're going to step in. It is our job to police this because the Constitution requires us to, and in this case, going very much in the opposite direction and kind of abdicating responsibility. What is, if anything, the difference between this case and those?
Yeah, you know, despite the composition of the Supreme Court, today's decision is still surprising, and I'd like to point to Elena Kagan's dissent on this, where she pointed out that for the first time, the Supreme Court has refused to remedy a constitutional violation because it thinks the task is beyond its capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have precedent, and Chief Justice Roberts said explicitly, you know, equal population and racial gerrymandering protections remain in place, but this is partisan gerrymandering has no place in the federal courts. It does seem inconsistent with previous rulings, you know, Reynolds v. Sims and Shaw v. Reno. And what I think is most hopeful for a lot of folks watching this is that there are still ways forward. There are still ways that people can engage on the state level and the congressional level to demand that partisan gerrymandering not be so egregious that it denies people their right to vote and participate in our democracy.
Speaking with Dustin Chickerell-Bayard, Southern Coalition for Social Justice, Allison Riggs, who is the attorney who argued the case before the Supreme Court earlier this year, had a really good line in the statement. Obviously, everyone issuing statements left and right on this case. Allison Riggs had a really good line in her statement. She said, the arc towards justice bends slowly, and our fight does not end today. And as you said, it's going to go on, maybe not in the federal courts, but in a variety of different avenues and a variety of different opportunities that still exist for people who want to fight partisan gerrymandering to actually move the dial on this. What are some of the things that can be done now going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is an existing state-level challenge to the state legislative districts brought by Common Cause that is going to be heard in state court later in July, in middle of July. So that's one avenue, and that will likely ultimately make its way to the North Carolina Supreme Court. But what the average person can do, what the folks at home who are concerned about this, who are troubled by their vote and participation in our democracy being undermined by partisan gerrymandering, they can do a number of things. The first is let their congressional representatives know that this ball is now in their court, and they expect them to take action and take direction from Chief Justice Roberts to say this is something Congress can and should rein in. The second thing is make sure that people vote. 2020 2020 is going to be a year where after the census and people elected in 2020 are going to draw new lines, new redistricting lines. That'll happen in 2021. And who gets elected in 2020 is going to make a difference as to how those lines look, how fair they are, and who has a say. And lastly, there are organizations like the Southern Coalition for Social Justice and Common Cause who are innovative in their approach in tackling unjust laws. And there are grassroots organizations like the League of Women Voters, who we represented in this case, who are doing tremendous work. So if you're interested in this issue, if you want to be engaged on this issue, find these organizations, get involved, participate, but ultimately vote in 2020 to make sure your elected representatives know how you feel.
And there is definitely a bill that is being introduced or has been introduced in the House of Representatives, the For the People Act, right, the name of it, which, among other things, addresses partisan gerrymandering and require states to do something about that. There's also state-level action, right, that can happen too, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, you know, the state legislature could recognize on its own, given that it has the ability and responsibility to engage in redistricting, they could do the right thing and recognize that all North Carolinians' voice should be heard regardless of political affiliation, and that they can take it on their own to make sure that discrimination has no place in the redistricting process. Just because today's ruling says that this is not something that's justiciable for federal courts doesn't mean that the state legislature cannot do the right thing in and of itself, and it's something that they should do.
And with regard to the court case that's moving through the state courts, you mentioned a court hearing in July. Any idea on the time frame as to when that might get to the state Supreme Court for a ruling?
You know, I'm not positive, but I think folks are optimistic that that might be moving through the state court level and to the North Carolina Supreme Court by the end of this year, so that there is a possibility that if it is found, as many believe and as we believe, that partisan gerrymandering is not acceptable under the state constitution, that new maps could be drawn before the 2020 election to make sure that voters have a fair say.
Any final thoughts on this issue? Anything we haven't said yet? Final takeaways for people that are concerned about this?
I would just implore folks again who hear this news and immediately have concerns that our democracy is sort of under assault. I just want to make sure that people know that our democracy is only as strong as the people who are engaged in it. And there are many things that folks can do. They can become active. They can vote. They can participate and have their voice heard. And I would encourage people to read the dissent from Elena Kagan on this case. It's wonderful. And she ultimately recognizes that the power within our country, within our government, ultimately lies within the people. And if this is going to be corrected, it's going to be done through everyone becoming engaged. So not only is there something that we can do about this, that it's going to take all of us doing something about this to create the change we want to see.
A lot of things people can do, a lot of places you can go. If you want more information from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, you can find them online at southerncoalition.org. Dustin Chickerill-Bayard, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.